down in order of the reading of the Word of God. All right. I have to get this glass of water. Generally, I got one back there. That's my blood pressure medicine water back there. And this up here is generally my preaching water up front. And believe it or not, you got to stay hydrated when you're like me, or your blood pressure will drop even more. So I try before I preach to take a few big gulps and get it down, and maybe that'll help me with my blood pressure and help hold it up. And Lord willing, we'll be able to get through this morning without turning too pale. I don't want to get too pale on you. Amen. And sometimes I have. But, you know, it's strange. I'm going to be in the same book that Brother Steve was in Sunday school this morning. So if you want me to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, you can do that. John's Gospel and chapter number 16. John's Gospel and chapter number 16. And I have preached this. I've got a date, but I don't know. I may have preached it between then and now. It really makes no difference to me. That's what I'm going to preach anyway. And if I've forgotten about it, chances are you probably have too, so it don't really make that much difference. And it's all good, so it'll be just as good this morning as it was the first time over. A lot of people don't like leftovers. I can eat them a couple times, but after that, you know, two or three times. It depends on what it is. Some leftovers I can eat over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Don't bother me at all. But others they can't. And that's the same way with preaching. Some leftover preaching, I can eat it just over and over. And then there's some of it, you know, that I just can't take too much of. Amen. All right, John's Gospel and chapter number 16. And I want to begin reading in verse number 12. The Lord's speaking here to his disciples, and he makes a statement, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." May the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word now. Save sinners, and may Jesus be glorified. Help the preacher, Lord, in body, mind, and spirit this morning, I pray. I'd ask you, Lord, to save sinners. And we do thank you once again for the marathon, the good work that was done there, and the blessing that you provided. We're grateful and thankful. Meet with us now in a special way. Thank you for the Sunday school time again today. Thank you, Lord, for your people that are here and those by the radio. Make this a special day in each of our lives. And, Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all that is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Jesus, in these verses that I have just read to you this morning here in John's Gospel in chapter number 16, is preparing his disciples, and he's preparing them for his return to the Father, and then later for the descent of the Spirit of God that came on the day of Pentecost to empower the church to carry out the great commission of going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the Lord expressly declares here in verse number 12 that there are yet many things about him that have been yet unrevealed. In other words, he's been with these men for 3.5 years, but he tells them there's many things and many truths about me that you yet know nothing about. And if you'll read the last verse of John's Gospel, you'll find there that John said about all the things that Jesus did, if they were all written in books, that they're He said, "I suppose the world would not be room in the world to contain all the books that should be written of him." So the Lord did many things, and many of those things that about him are yet revealed. In fact, you'll never reach the depths of the riches of God's grace. But the Spirit's job is to communicate those things to you and I that we, as we are able to bear them. The Lord said here that he had many things to say, but said, you're not able to bear them. But said, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, said, he'll guide you into all truth. In other words, he's saying, after my death and my burial and my resurrection, there will be an understanding given to you that you'll be able to bear things then that you're not able to bear and not able to understand even at this present moment. But in the ministry of the Spirit, as I've said, he promises a complete revelation of himself and of those things that would surely come to pass. And that is the Spirit's job in this dispensation, is to reveal to you and I the things about the Lord, his glory, his beauty, his majesty, and then to reveal to us all the things that are to come to pass, that we may know them. You know, a lot of people are kind of uptight about what's going on in the world right now. And the reason they are is because they've never read all their Bible. Or else they don't understand everything written in the Bible. If we've read the Bible and understand it, we ought to have enough knowledge within us to know that what's going on in the world around us now is here because it's written in the Word of God, and it's going to be so because the Lord has declared it, and it will come to pass. Well, what then is the office of the Holy Spirit but that of communicating and applying the work of Christ to human hearts? That's a marvelous thing when you stop and think about it. God's given us the Holy Spirit. And it is his purpose, his job, his work, his labor here on earth to apply what Christ has done to human hearts. And I'll get into some of those things in just a moment. If he convinces us of sin, it is by exhibiting the gracious redemptive work of the Savior and showing men their guilt in not believing on him. The Spirit of God, as he convinces us of sin, he shows men that they're guilty. And all men are guilty before God. In fact, the law was given that all might become guilty. There's not an innocent person in the world, only one. When Judas Iscariot made the statement, what did he say about innocent blood? I've shed innocent blood. And the Jews said, what is that to us? There's only been one innocent man in all this world, and that was Jesus. There's not a one of us in here today that is innocent. We are all guilty of sin. Brother Gray and I were talking just the other day, and he made the statement. He said, Brother Hall, he said, I have never tasted alcohol. I don't know what it tastes like. Liquor, I've never drank it. Beer, I've never drank it. And I said, what a blessing that is. I wish that all men were that way, but we've not all been that way. But the truth of the matter is, he's just as guilty a sinner as what you and I are. Because all men are born into this world out of the loins of Adam. Adam transgressed against the law of God. And in his fallen nature, we're all products of. And because he had that fallen nature, we have too. By one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so that death passed upon all men in for that all have sinned. Now, if the Spirit of God witnesses to the penitent, that is to a sinner, of his exception, it is by testifying of the atoning blood of Jesus in which that acceptance is grounded. We are accepted in the Beloved. And the Holy Spirit will testify to a sinner that he has been accepted by the Lord only through the shed blood of the Son of God. That's the only way that a man will ever be accepted by God is through the blood. That is why we had to have a sacrifice. Now, I'm going to tell you, I put a lot of emphasis on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. That's right, because you're not going to heaven without a sacrifice. I believe it was Brother Kallebach said during the marathon that there's only one man in the Bible that God ever asked his son to die besides God the Father when he asked his son to die. And that was Abraham when he took Isaac on the mountain and told him that he wanted him to offer him up as a sacrifice. Though, of course, doing that in trying his faith. But when Jesus died, he became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And his ministry, the Spirit's ministry, is to testify to you and I of the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that we're saved by grace, but I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. Now, there's a lot of people out there in a lot of religions. They tell us we've got a bloody religion. Well, I won't say amen to that. I say amen to that. They put the blood on the doorpost down in the land of Egypt, and they were safe as long as they stayed in that dwelling. And I'm glad that he put the blood on the doorpost of my heart and your heart. We're safe also by that same blood that was applied that day. Aren't you glad that it wasn't just a little bit of blood? He shed all of his blood, all of it. And I don't know how much. Somebody said one time, said, well, how much of his blood does it take for each sinner? I'm going to answer that for you. All of it. He doesn't delegate out a drop here and a drop there and a drop somewhere else, or a spot here and a spot there. All, it took all of his blood to save you. It took all of his blood to save me. He shed all of his blood for the remission of our sins. There is no question about that. Now, and if he sanctifies the heart of you and I, it is by communicating to us the life of the risen Lord. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart as a holy thing, and he does that by communicating to us the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not the earthly Christ whom the Holy Spirit is communicating to the church. Oh, no. He's died, as Brother Steve said, as a man. He rose from the grave. But when he ascended back to the right hand of the Father, he ascended back as God in all of his glory. And it's not that earthly ministry that is the Spirit is communicating to us. Oh, no. It is what he is now at the right hand of God the Father. I don't know anybody that can really grasp all of that, but I'm going to tell you there was one man that said that he pressed toward that mark, said he had not apprehended it all, but ever since he had been apprehended by Christ, he had spent the rest of his life trying to apprehend that which had already apprehended him. I want to say to you and I, if we got any sense about us at all, we'll spend our life doing our best to apprehend Christ, apprehend the one that has already apprehended us. What do you mean by that, preacher? I'm talking about we ought to seek a life that is doing its best to be more like Christ every day. He wants us to be like him, and we are going to be conformed to his very image one of these days. But I'm telling you right now, we ought to seek the Lord in all of his glory and beauty and power, and do our utmost to be all that we can be for him and be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, but the Holy Spirit is communicating to us the Christ reinvested with his eternal power, relocated with all the glory that he had with the Father, even before the world was, and re-endowed with the infinite treasure of grace that he has purchased by his death on the cross. Now, boy, I'm going to tell you, if we can get a hold of that. The Spirit is communicating to us the reinvested Christ. Brother Steve said right this morning when he said he came into this world, he laid his glory aside as the great God and became man. But he's not just that man now. He's 100% man, but he is 100% God. And it's that God with that reinvested power and glory that the Holy Ghost is revealing to you and I right now. When I talk to you this morning about God, I'm not talking to you about some man that has a temporal life, that is a mortal. I'm talking to you about God who is a spirit. who is immortal and has immortality and life dwelling in him. I'm referring to a God. I'm referring to the one that created all things. By him all things consist. I'm talking to you about a God that had the power to lay his glory aside, die on the cross of Calvary, pick his glory back up, put it back on, ascend back to heaven, and he's seated there high and lifted up today. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we could ever get a glimpse of that throne that's high, where he is high and lifted up, amen, and see those seraphim crying, holy, 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 it might cause you and I to get stirred up a little bit and cry, holy, holy, holy ourselves. We might sit on our pews a little stiff neck and stiff back today. But I'm telling you, there's coming an hour, ladies and gentlemen, when we behold all of his glory, that we're not going to be sitting like we are now. We're going to have to fall prostrate at his feet, amen, and confess to him that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. And when we fall there, we won't just be falling there for doing nothing. We'll be like the 24 elders in the book of the Revelation. We will be worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Bless his wonderful and holy name. Ooh, got the wrong hanky this morning. I ain't got one to change in there either. I hope y'all didn't see that. That's the ice cream from last night. You can tell I was in good shape when I woke up this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. By his death, our inheritance became available. And when he ascended into heaven, he sent down the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to distribute the estate among those who were joint heirs with him. This inheritance can be summarized in two beautiful phrases: the riches of his grace and the riches of his glory. It was on the cross that he gives us the riches of his grace. But it is on the throne that we find the riches of his glory. Now both of those phrases are in the Bible. And we need to get a hold of that today. On Calvary, oh what grace. We see at the cross, he that knew no sin died for sinners who justly deserved to die and go to hell. But yet he loved us so much, and I'm going to say this, even before the foundation of the world, that he set forth in the mind and the economy of God that his Son would come into the world and be a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. What grace! What grace! He that created, he the great creator, dying in the creature's place. We can rejoice over that. But on the throne, we see the riches of his glory. That's why Paul talks about his throne of grace. There is a throne there of grace that contains all of the glory of God. And the Spirit can communicate that to you and I. Our problem is we don't want to open up our heart and receive it all. You know what our problem is? We want to come to the house of God and play with telephones. We want to come to the house of God. Hey, come on now. We want to come to the house of God and close our ears to the truth and listen to what we want here and pick it out like a smorgasbord. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You don't take God's word like a smorgasbord. You'll either take it all or you won't take any of it at all whatsoever. Amen. It's all or nothing from that book. It's believe it or not believe it from the old preacher's head, from kibber to kibber. That's just the way it is. Amen. We want to come to church and play church rather than coming to church and having church and worshiping our God. Come on in the house now. You can say amen or oh me. Amen. That's right. Now, stay right with me, okay? The cross, the riches of his grace, was secured in us in the forgiveness of sin. On the throne, the riches of his glory is secured to us by the Holy Spirit dwelling within our inner man. What a thought. On the cross, he secured in you and I, by the forgiveness of sin, the grace of God. But on the throne, he secures in us He said, by the riches of His grace, He secures in us that grace by the dwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the doctrine of Jesus during His earthly ministry waited to be illumined by the light not yet risen. The light of the cross and the light of the sepulchre and the light of His ascension. As He's speaking to His disciples here, He said, I've got many things to talk to you about, but I cannot talk to you about them now because you cannot bear to hear them. But He said, when I send the Spirit of truth back into this world, that He'll guide you into all truth. In other words, He said, He's going to talk to you about Calvary. And He's going to talk to you about the grave. And He's going to talk to you about His ascension back to heaven. While they stood and watched Him ascend back to heaven, and two of them on the road to Emmaus still wondered in their heart after He was resurrected what in the world was going on with the Lord. And they had already watched Him ascend back into heaven. Boy, I'll tell you, that amazes me. And the Holy Ghost of God is communicating that to our heart. If we get a hold of that today, I believe it would revive us. That it's His job to talk to you and I about Calvary. The purpose of the Son of God in coming to the cross was to redeem sinners from their sin. To lift us out of something that we were stuck in and could not get out of by ourselves. The more I tried to get out of sin, the deeper I got down and twisted down in to iniquity. That iniquity wrapped and twined around my soul with such power that I was unable to struggle and free myself from it. But brother, there came a day when Jesus came by, and I didn't know it then, but I know it now by the Holy Ghost, that Jesus came by where I was, praise God, and delivered me, set me out of my bondage and my captivity of sin, and set me at liberty in the Lord, made me free in Him. Today I'm free indeed from all sin, free from the power, free from the guilt, free from the dominion of sin over me. It shall never be no more. And I know that now because the Holy Ghost has revealed that to me. Amen. That's right. Now, carefully. The Holy Spirit communicates a full gospel. Not just the death and burial and resurrection only, but also Christ's glorious ascension and reception into heaven. Wouldn't you like to have been there when He got back to heaven? My mind can't even fathom. My mind can't even fathom what transpired when the Son made His ascension back into heaven. When all the angels that God had created that had worshipped Him from all eternity's past had to say, there He is. He's went down and redeemed fallen man. He died for fallen man. He left us in all of His glory, went way down there and died for fallen man. And hallelujah, here He is back again. Hey, and He's not some little old nobody. He is God Almighty. He is God Almighty. Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, I don't know about you, but I could about run my head through a wall when I think about a God that has no impossibilities. We sat here last night on the marathon, sucking our thumbs, amen, come on, with our pooch lips hanging out, worried and wondering what was going to happen. And God knew what was going to happen all the time. He already had it planned out and mapped out. Already had the victory wrote down for us. And by the grace of God, that victory came through. Did it not come through? Amen. We sat here worrying and wondering what's going to happen, what's going to take place. We've forgotten who God is. He's God Almighty. He's God that wills what He does and does what He wills. When He wants to do it, how He wants to do it, where He wants to do it, and who He wants to use to do it with. And He doesn't ask you or me anything about it. He just does it. By the way, that's called sovereignty, and you can like it or lump it. Don't make no difference to me. He is a sovereign God. Amen. He doesn't need to ask any question to anybody to do anything. I guarantee you, if he comes back in our president's tenure in the office, he won't look down and say, "Mr. President, can I come back to earth?" Amen. He won't look over in Iran at that goofball over there and say, "Goofball, can I come back to earth?" That's right. He won't look to Assad, that Assyrian, and say, "Is it all right with you Assyrians if I come back to earth right now?" I've got news for you. He won't even look at the Jews. He won't even ask Netanyahu if it's all right for him to come back. He'll just get up when it's time to go, and he will come back as he said he was. And by the way, he said, them 2 men in white apparel said, this same Jesus as you've seen taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go away. I won't say this morning on the authority of the Word of God. Praise God, he is coming again. Amen. He's going to complete all things. One of these days, he'll wrap it up and complete everything. All things will be taken care of in the mind and the economy of God. I'm just so glad I'm ready to go. I'm so glad I made it. Oh yeah, preparations a long time ago when I met him at the foot of the cross and my sins were rolled away. I made preparations that day to go to heaven and spend all time in eternity when I got there. By the way, he didn't have to set another place at the table. He already had it there. Somebody said, "How you know?" Because I've got an inheritance that is reserved. It's reserved. Ain't nobody going to take it. It's reserved, ladies and gentlemen. It's reserved. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm going to say two or three things. I'm going to let you go home. What does the Spirit communicate? Well, the cross. He opens up our understanding when he communicates the cross. He opens up our understanding to its truth. A lot of people really don't understand the truth of the cross. A lot of people, it's just a religious symbol. And I hate to say this, but a lot of people that's fighting the atheist over the right to keep a cross in a certain place or to keep the Ten Commandments in a certain place, it's just a religious thing with them. It has nothing to do with truth, the reality of the cross. They got to take that cross down. And that really has no reality to them whatsoever. It's a symbol. It's a symbol. Now, I'm not going to fight against somebody who wants to put up a cross. But I'm going to tell you something. And some of you are going to be mad at me right here. They can put up all the crosses they want to put up. But those are not the crosses that Christ died on. He died on a cross on a hill called the Skull outside of Mount Calvary, and they sat down and watched him die there. Not someplace else, there. That's the cross. And I'm going to tell you, when the Bible talks about the cross that Jesus died on, it don't talk about many crosses, just the cross. All these other crosses are just religious symbols that have no power about them whatsoever. Now, I'm not fighting them over them. I know that makes some of you mad. I'm not fighting them over them. Now, I'm not going to fight over them. But I'm telling you right now, if Christ didn't die on these crosses you see running up and down the highway, he died at Calvary. And you couldn't find that cross today if you wanted to. They'd worship the cross more than they worship him. And by the way, we don't worship the cross. Thank God for the cross. But it's what took place on the cross. What happened there was that God died. God, the great creator, died on that cross. That's really what matters, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. He died on that cross for our sins. Praise God. What a God. Somebody said, "Where's that cross at?" I don't know. They don't know where it's at, and they don't know where the ark's at. They ain't going to find it, I'll guarantee you. Neither one of them. I don't care what they said. They ain't going to find them. They're gone. Now, he opens up our understanding about the truth. John said, you know the truth, that is, understand. If you know something, you got to understand it. And the truth will make you free. If you don't, hey, all that will set you free about the truth is that what you understand about it. That's right. And it's the Spirit's responsibility to communicate to us, to call it, help us to understand the truth about something. They not many folk really have an understanding of the truth that makes them free. He not only opens our understanding of His truth, but He opens our heart to His love. Yes, sir, the Bible said in Romans 5:4, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. He opens our heart that we might receive the love of God. Oh, He opened up Lydia's heart. All the love of God filled Lydia's heart. If I can find it here in Romans, I want to read you a verse. If I can find it in Romans, I don't know if I can or not. With these glasses, I can't hardly see. But I'm going to see if I can. Love maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You know what that word, and I just read, you know what that word shed means? It means shed abroad in our hearts, gushing. It literally means gushing. In other words, He filled our heart with such love that it's like a fountain that just gushes. It ought to just, His love ought to be gushing out of us. Do you know what Baptists want to be? Mean and bad. I hope He's listening. It don't make it flip to me. Too many young preachers today want to be like Phil Kidd. Oh, they think the meaner they are, the better preacher they are. Don't you dare preach on love. Friend, if I don't preach on love, I don't preach on God. The Bible tells me that God is love. And that love that God is in our heart today. And it's there because the Holy Ghost opened up your heart and did surgery on you and implanted that love into your heart. Hey, and by the way, that love ought to gush out of you and I to other people as well. That's exactly right. And a lot of people just want to be mean, like some other preacher they've heard. I was in here one day, I was as mean as... I hope I don't get that mean no more. I'm getting too old to be that mean. I'm not going to tell you what I said, and I hope they never find it. Brother Steve is threatening to blackmail me if they do. Didn't sound very good what I said. See, that you hear other people say that. You say things you hear other preachers say. You think it makes you look as big as they are. But what it does, it makes you and them both look like a fool.
Amen.
Amen. Thank y'all. Amen. The Spirit of... He opens our spirit to its reality. Philippians 1:21, the Bible said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm glad the Holy Ghost opens up our heart. Opens up our heart, our spirit, to the reality of the cross. The spirit of man has got to understand that cross. Now, not only does He communicate the cross, but He communicates God's comfort. The Bible said in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know what that word comfortless means? It means to be an orphan. Or it means to be fatherless. It means to be parentless, a child without a parent. I'm glad I'm not a bastard this morning. Pardon me. But I'm glad that I've got a Heavenly Father.
Amen.
For if you're not sons, then are you bastards, is what the Word of God says. Amen. I've got a Father that comforts me. I'm not an orphan. He comforts me. Amen. When does He comfort me? In my disappointments. Somebody said, preacher, I don't have any disappointments. I hope you don't. But buddy, I do. With the microphone. Probably ought to. Maybe you don't have any disappointments, but I do. I'll guarantee if you got the word a few months ago like Brother Andy got, you'd be disappointed.
Amen.
If you was trying to land a big job and somebody else got it, you'd be disappointed.
Amen.
If you was trying to buy a nice home and wasn't able to get it, you'd be disappointed.
Amen.
There's a lot of disappointments in this life.
Amen.
A lot of people are disappointed because of what they are. They don't want to be what God's made them, and they're disappointed about what God's made them, and they try to be somebody else. I've never seen such a society. White people want to look like black people. Black people want to look like white people. White people want to we want to get under tanning booths and get black, and white people want to bleach out like Jackson and be white. Somebody said, I don't like that. I didn't ask you to like that. I'm just telling you the truth. People don't want to be what they are. I'm telling you right now, if I was a black man, I would not. Hey, I'd want to be a black man.
Amen.
That West fellow that lost that election down in Florida was a black man. I was rooting for him. I wanted to see him win it. He was the best man for the job, and I wanted to see him win it, and he got crooked out of it. Now, I'm not preaching against blacks. I'm just simply telling you, people don't want, hey, you know what's wrong with these sodomites? They don't want to be what God's made them.
Amen.
Well, God made me this way in a pig's eye.
Amen.
God ain't never made one sodomite.
Amen.
People become sodomites because they want to be sodomites.
Amen.
They become transvestites because they want to be transvestites.
Amen.
And the reason they do that is because they're not satisfied with what have God made them.
Amen.
And what God made them of. They're not satisfied with that. They want to be something else, somebody else. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not much, but I'm glad I'm Gary Hall. You may not think I'm much, but my wife does. If you don't believe me, ask her. Amen. If y'all are a little hot and you want to turn on a little air, you can. I'm hot up here. Keep some of his eyelids from drooping. I ain't quite done yet. Turn on, Brother Gray. He comforts us in our disappointments. He comforts us in our discontentments. You know, sometimes we live a life and we're just discontented all the time. We're not content with what we have. We're not content with what we have in this life. It seems like we want more and more and more. And God said we ought to, hey, with food and raiment, just food and raiment, food and clothes, not even a house, not even a tent. Not even a poncho or a poncho liner. I spent many nights wrapped up in a poncho liner in Vietnam. That's all I had. And I was thankful for it over there. But when I got back to America, it didn't mean very much. Because I had a nice bed to sleep in. See what I'm saying? You can become discontented with a lot of things in this life. When God said we ought to be content with such things as we have. And with food and raiment, we ought to be content.
Amen.
And yet we're not. We're the most discontent. But it's the Spirit's job to comfort us in that time of discontentment. And He will.
Amen.
He will. I'm going to have to say this. I have both been discouraged and discontented with what's been going on at my house the last few months. I told my wife the other day, I said, if it wasn't for the looks of things, I'd walk out there on the front of the road and put, for sale as is, come and buy this egg sucker, and somebody do me a favor. But the Holy Ghost said, you know you don't want to do that. I was sitting in the house the other night in the chair, and I looked over at Miss Hall, and I said, do you want to sell this house? She said, do you? I sat there a minute and I said, no, there's too many memories. And I'm going to tell you, it's the memories. I may not have long to go. I don't have much long to go. I may live another 25 years. I don't know. But I may not. But them memories that's there, as long as I can stay in a sound mind, I can walk through them little bedrooms upstairs. And although they're married and done moved away and gone, and got kids of their own, I can still see them crawling around on the floor, skinning up that hardwood. I can still see them in them little rooms playing. I can still see them down there unwrapping Christmas presents. I can still see them sitting around the table eating turkey and ham. I can still see them out there. The logs are still laying out there in the field where they're going to build them a big fort one day. The logs are still there. Memories, folks. No, I don't want to leave over there. I get discouraged and discontented. But then the Holy Ghost reminds me of what that place really means to me. And He'll do the same to you in your discouragement and your discontentment. He'll remind you of what that really means to you that you're discouraged about or discontented about. And He'll comfort you and help you in your disappointments and your discontentments and your discouragements. Then He'll communicate to us the course that we are to run. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, now I'm skipping some scripture, by the way. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." And it is the Spirit's work to communicate that course to you and I. I believe the preacher back here mentioned something about that course that we're running last night when he was sitting up here behind the microphone. Everybody's not on the same track, folks. Everybody don't run the same course. God knows exactly what path He needs to put you on and me on, and He'll do that. And by the way, the course He puts us on is charted. Somebody said, "I'm having a hard time finding the way." Have you thought of looking in the Bible?
Amen.
It's the best compass you'll ever have. That book right there. Oh, it's got the course charted all the way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It may be like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. There may be some critters along the way that you're going to meet that are just not what you think they ought to be. But I'm going to tell you, if you stay on that course that He has, you'll make it. You'll make it by the grace of God. That's right. I don't know one yet that ever lost, not one saved person that ever lost their way.
Amen.
Been a whole lot of lost people tried to get down that path and they lost their way.
Amen.
But not one saved person ever lost his way. Not one. Because there's a light. And it's not at the end of the tunnel, by the way. Oh, I've heard that all of my life. There's a light, thank God, at the end of the tunnel. Well, I know what you're talking about. But I've got one better than that. There is a light in front of me, and there's a light behind me. There's a light at my feet, and there's a light in the path. Amen. Come on. That guides me all the way. Well, the Lord is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. I can see up close. I can look out far. And that light will guide me every step of the way. That's right. That course is charted. May I say that course is confirmed. He said, run the race with patience. Run the race that is set before you. It's not only charted, but it's confirmed. You're not. Somebody said, "Well, I'll take a shortcut." No, there's no shortcuts.
Amen.
What you'll do if you try to get off back here, you know, and run up here, you know what you'll do? You'll have to come right back here. Can I tell you this in love? If you ever get bent out of sorts with God, you'll have to go right back to where you got bent out of sorts and get right and get back on the right track. Period. If it's with a person, if you get off track because of some person that you've had a little problem with, you'll get back on course when you come right back to that person. And not until. That's why we've got so many problems in our churches today.
Amen.
Or just, I know what time it is. It's already what? 12:30. It's early. That's one of our problems today. We don't want to get right with one another. And when we're not right with one another, there's divisions in the church. And when there's divisions in the church, I'm telling you, there's envy and strife. And where envy and strife is, there is every evil work. And I didn't say that. God did. If you got an issue with it, you take it up with Him, not me. I don't want to hear it. Now, I'm just telling you, if there's problems in this church, you need to get it right, whoever you are. And I know there is. I can feel it when I stand up here to preach. And I'm going to tell you something. Where there's divisions, are you not yet carnal? Are you not yet babies in Christ? Now, lads, we walk around with a chip on our shoulder, daring somebody to knock it off. One of these days, somebody might knock more off than a chip. It's a fact now. We don't want to get right. For some reason, we're afraid to get right. We're afraid to get right with that person, afraid of what that person will think about us. I wouldn't care what somebody thought about me. I want to be right with God. And I'm going to tell you, if you go to them and put the monkey on their back, the monkey's on their back, not yours, neighbor. If you go to them and they will not receive what you have to say, the monkey is on their back, not yours. And by the way, if you've been offended, that person that's been offended is to go to the other person. Amen. It's not the offender that comes, it's the offended that comes. Right. Somebody said, how do you know that? Because we offended Christ and didn't go to Him. He was the offended and He came to the offenders. Amen. That's a good example in the book.
Amen.
Amen. Now the course is also conquered. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're going to make it. I don't have time to turn there, but that Spirit also reveals to us His coming. He's coming. And we need to be watching and waiting and looking. We need to have our eyes on the sky. And I'm telling you, it's sooner than what we really believe. Man, look what's going on in the Middle East. I mean, I don't want to see people die over there. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't want to see bloodshed and fighting and all that. In fact, I wished our boys... I saw a little article where it said that our boys, the Senate voted for an early come home in Afghanistan. I don't know how many they're bringing home. If we pull them all out, they'll just lose everything that we fought for. Same thing in Iraq. But I'm telling you, I'm not for people dying. But what's going on over there thrills my soul. Because it tells me that it's just around the corner when Christ is coming again. Somebody said, you preach that every message. I know I do. And you know why? Well, the Bible said, comfort ye one another with these words. I'm trying to help you. You ever lose sight of that, you're in trouble. If you ever lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming, you're in... Hey, discouragement. You talk about getting discouraged. Your hope disappears. Discouragement sets in. Depression mounts up. And you can't do a thing for God. You're just useless in the service of God. You got to keep that hope. Now, I'm going to tell you, keep a little hope. I'm going to tell you something else that'll do. It'll provide a little joy. And the joy of the Lord is what our strength.
Amen.
I saw yesterday. Are you listening to what I'm getting ready to say? I saw yesterday a 94-year-old man walked up right out there amidst that lumber and stuff. And had two. I said, what is that, Mr. Durrell? He said, that's two $50 bills. 94 years old. And the first thing came out of his mouth, he said, I've been saved 59 years. 94 years. I've been saved 59 years. And he said, I'm 94 years old and I'm still driving an automobile. He said, I've not been feeling good here lately. But he said, I've been saved 59 years. And then he just kept saying that. And I thought, Lord, I said, he may not know much else to say, but he can say, I've been saved 59 years. Amen. That's more than I'll be able to say when I die, probably. Unless I live a long time. Amen. But his coming, his Spirit will communicate that. And then His crown, the crown that's for us. Did you know there is a crown of righteousness?
Yep.
There's a crown, according to 2 Timothy 4:8, that is going to be given to those that are righteous. Paul said so. A crown of righteousness laid up not for me only, but for all those that love His appearing. According to 1 Corinthians 9:25, there is a crown of immortality. You believe we're going to wear a crown on our head that says we're going to live forever? We're immortal. No more mortals. What, you know what that tells me? There's coming a day we'll trade a cross for a crown.
Amen.
We'll trade a cross for a crown. You stop and give that some consideration. And then there's also in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, there's a crown of rejoicing. I don't think many of us will have that one. Well, there's not much rejoicing. But there is a crown of rejoicing. The Spirit, He communicates to you and I wonderful things about the Christian life and about our Lord. Let's stand together.